All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, June 9th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a 9-game MLB main slate today. We have game 3 of the Stanley Cup final, and then we had tennis get underway earlier today as well. So good luck to all of you playing some DFS today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. We did have one question come in prior to the show today. I made an announcement in Discord. Want to let you guys know here as well. We're going to be stopping doing the regularly scheduled build review show. If you guys need a review show, we're not going to punt it to Friday. And we will just handle them as they come in. So if you guys want to review, you can still email us. You can still post an Office Hours channel in Discord. And then our team will just get to it on a little bit more regular basis. So that's one thing changing here. But aside from that, business as usual. It is Monday, so we did announce the winners for this week's Birdie Battle highest scorer and random entrant winner in the Discord. So you can check that out if you're participating in the Birdie Battle. Fun week for golf. We do have the U.S. Open this week, so plenty of big contests. Always fun when these majors roll around. All right, as far as office hours go, let's get our first question up on the screen, and then we will just kind of roll from there. So first question today, when I click on the gear button next to the rebuild lineups button, it has a correlation and sim diversity slider during the next office hours. Can you please explain how to use this? Yes, absolutely. So what we're talking about here, build lineups, talk about this gear icon, click this, you get some settings, right? Now, there is a helpful video on this in our help documentation, just to call it out. In the frequently asked questions and glossary section, we have a video, correlation and sim diversity. I will drop that here in the chat for anybody interested in checking that out. But to get back to the app, we will talk about this. So these sliders, the values that they are set at, are set with regard to how many games are on the slate. So if we go and look at, you know, a 12 game slate versus a 9, they might be slightly different. If we go and look at a 4 game slate compared to a 9 like today, they might be different, right? So we basically back test contests and we figure out effectively like how much upside and how much stacking you're generally going to need to do well on this slate. Okay. Now you can change them, you know, as you see fit. We don't really recommend changing them. That's why they're like hidden by default here. As far as what they do, right? You know, the whole reason that you can build with SaberSim and just get like a lot of stacks by itself without really needing to set any like rules or anything like that is because of the correlation slider, right? So if we go and pull up a batter, right? And Corbin Carroll is the highest projected batter at the moment. In the play-by-play sim, we're going to show, hey, you know, Corbin Carroll correlates to these players the most, right? And typically the other batters in his lineup. And the correlation slider, the higher it is, the more it amplifies the effect of correlation. So when Corbin Carroll is in a lineup, he is more likely to be in a lineup with other players he is positively correlated to. The higher correlation is set, the higher that slider goes, it's going to amplify these correlations. And then similarly, right, when a player has negative correlation, like let's go look at like a pitcher.
I was hoping I could see this.
Sorry, it just takes like a lot. Just like querying the information. Let's try this one more time. I'm interested to see how the pitchers correlate here. like in the same game. I'm actually not something I'm super familiar with, like on how that normally looks. So we're going to take Chris Sale, and then he's facing Aaron Civale. So let's go and look. So Civale has a negative 0.11 correlation to Sale, mostly due to like the win bonuses here, right? Like win bonus on DK is like 4 points, I think. So like if Civale is getting the win bonus, then that means Sale isn't, right? So they negatively correlate. Again, the higher correlation is set, the less likely you are to get lineups with two pitchers from the same game. If this is like kind of like a general thing, okay? So that's what correlation slider is doing. It amplifies it in the positive, and then it amplifies it in the negative, right? It'll like drive those players apart. Now, as far as just one other thing, you'll see like for showdowns, correlation will be at zero. At that point, we're just using the play-by-play correlations, which are the values that you see when you get that pop-up. When we boost this, we are effectively raising those correlation values. Okay, we're artificially increasing them to promote stacking, and that's fine for the most part, because in like classic slates like this, you don't need an optimal lineup to win, right? You don't need the highest scoring lineup possible. When we're playing like NFL Showdown or NBA Showdown, right? We can just simply rely on the play-by-play correlation and use those single game sims. We don't really want to alter any type of correlation, because we more often than not, you're going to need an optimal lineup to take down the contest. All right. And then that's correlation in a nutshell. Sim diversity. What we do for sim diversity is when sim diversity is at zero, we are using the average projection that you see in the app to grade the players when we go to put them into a lineup. When sim diversity is at 10, what we do is we take a single game from each game on the slate. And then let's say that, Shohei Ohtani hits a home run, right? Okay, well, instead of his projection being 13.01, let's say he hits a home run, doesn't do anything else. His new projection, his score that we're looking at is 14 points. And then that is the number that gets used when we go to grade him to see if he should be in your lineups or not. When sim diversity is lower, as it in between this 1 and 9, you got to understand that 10 is one sim, 9 is more sims, and then every number you go down is more sims and more sims like per bucket. So it's like it could be 5 sims, it could be 10, it could be 100, it could be 200, right? That's how many sims we're using to grade the player. And then what we're doing, say at like 9, right? Let's say we take 5 sims of Dodgers, Padres. We use those, we play out those 5 sims, and then we take the average score that the player got across those 5, and then that's the number that gets used when we go to grade them to put them in your lineup. So you're further away from the average the higher you go. You are closer to the average the lower you go here. So sim diversity is controlling how many sims are being used each time we go to build a lineup for you. All right. Good stuff there. Let me know if there's any follow-up. Follow-up to the correlation. I noticed this morning tennis slate correlation is set to 5. Why isn't it at 0? Because the reason it's 5 is because we want to basically drive tennis players away from being in the same lineup. So, like, watch. We'll just, like, go pull this up. So the builder doesn't do anything automatically to not have two players from the same match in the lineup, right? You would have to go and turn on the don't use opposing players rule. Now, what we do, though, is like if we click on this, the correlation set to 5, well, Lulu Sun is going to have negative correlation to Peters here, right? So the correlation slider is driving these players further apart. So technically, there's nothing that says they can't be in the same lineup together by default, but we know that's generally not good. So the correlation's very high negative. So we are amplifying that to make it even less likely. It's interesting to me when two fighters in MMA, two tennis players, they do get into the same lineup, because that means that they both had to do so good to overcome the negative correlation that I think it's like, hey, this lineup's probably fine. Because do you know how high both players had to score in order to like overcome their negative correlation? It's like really, really high. You'll see something similar for MMA. I think MMA is usually like 210, like the correlation sim diversity here is usually set to 210, not 510. But that's effectively what it's doing. If you don't want two players from the same match, you just turn on the rule. It's like way easier, but that is why it is set to 5. That's why it's not 0. Chris said, I see Fantasy Guru Drew, you almost got first down or first last night in the showdown. That's not me. That is a another SaberSim user, power user for sure. Fantasy Guru Drew is really, really good, plays a lot there. You will see me Sanch05 in the lobby. That's what I'm lurking as. Follow up. When on 10 diversity, does that mean each lineup is based off an individual sim or entire set? Good question. So it means that we are taking one simulation of every game / match on the slate. So like for tennis, there are 16 matches today. We are taking one sim of each match. And then if it were NBA showdown, right? Like we were talking about with India and OKC, we are taking one instance of the game, and then we are building the best lineup under the salary cap from how that game played out. So 10 sim diversity is always one of whatever. It is one game, one, if a slate has, 13 fights, right? It is one instance of each fight on the slate, and then we combine it all to create a slate simulation. All right, good stuff so far. Let's pop into office hours really quickly. And it looks like we are still caught up there. Cool. So while we wait for more questions to roll in, why don't we start a slate demo? So we got this 9-game MLB slate coming up later today. What I would do, Ryan, we'll just do like a little ultimate demo here, is I'd probably increase minimum salary slightly here. I would turn on don't use batters against opposing pitchers. Again, correlation slider will drive these players apart, but I don't even want to consider it, so I don't think it's necessary here. So we're going to kick this off, build 5,000 lineups. If you have an entry file, good opportunity to go over to the contest tab right now and use the upload entries button. If you're signed into this, in this case, FanDuel, on the same browser that you're using SaberSim, you can import your file. There is an extra step on FanDuel to get your file. You don't just like auto, it doesn't just auto download to your browser. We do have tutorials on how to use those, on how to do it end to end, either how to enter your lineups into your contest on desktop or how to enter your lineups into your contest on mobile/phone. Okay. Both of these articles have FanDuel specific tutorials as well as other sites, right? Yahoo and Owner's Box, FanDuel DK. For mobile, Yahoo and Owner's Box don't support mobile, so you would only be able to do DraftKings and FanDuel here. And when I say they don't support mobile, I mean like they don't support mobile CSV upload specifically. You'd have to change your lineups by hand. All right, so we're just going to roll with the default contest sim here. We're going to go back to our build one. And these lineups have finished great. Contest sim should auto kick off, which it does here, right? If yours doesn't and you want it to, just go to the gear icon, turn on run contest sim automatically after build. Just saves a step and kicks this off while you can do other stuff, right? So I'm going to sort by exposure in the meantime. I don't really need two projection columns. Team's fine. Salary's fine. Shrink that down. Cool. That looks good. We got exposure, leverage, pool. All right. So our sim finished here, right? Sorting by ROI. So that's great.
I don't need an average salary metric today. So we have average projection, average ROI. Say you're building 150 lineups, right? Maybe you're playing like the Piggy Bank or something on FanDuel. Or I think they have like a $3 150 max that they normally run. All right. Actually, let's go and look. Max. Yeah. So let's say we're playing this $3 150 max and not the flagship. Turn that one off. So we'll use this as like our default contest. All right. Jumping back to our build. And since we switched contest sims, we do need to rerun it. All right. Sim runs, switches. It's on target, so we got changes. Save. All right, cool. So we're building 150 lineups for this $3 150 max. Sorting by ROI, we have projection and ROI aggregate metrics. Sorting by exposure here. And right off the bat, we look really, really flat here, right? I mean, if we go and just look at batters alone. No batter in more than 23% of our lineups. These batters are leveraged, right? I mean, we see 18% leverage. See some other double-digit leverage, but nothing over 20%. Nothing like standing out to me as like, oh my gosh, I need to like lower this, right? At least for my risk tolerance, you know, this all feels okay. Team stacks, you know, Tampa Bay is our highest, 24%. Seems fine. Stack exposures, ton of four stacks, you know, lighten this up, 4-3s, 4-2s, 4-2-2s, 4-4s, you know, kind of what we want to see, right? A lot of big stacks on a big slate. Okay. Last thing we really haven't checked is pitchers. So we are getting a lot of leverage on Springs. We're taking kind of a stand there. If you're okay with the stand, great. In this instance, right, I probably wouldn't use uniques because a lot of my other leverages and exposures I'm happy with. If I was in a situation like, hey, I just want to lower Springs, maybe I want to be closer to like 3x his ownership max, right? And he's like 8%. Okay, well then maybe I come in and I just do like 24% max exposure, just set that one exposure and then leave everything else the same, right? So like the way I think about it is if I want to change a lot of things, if I want to change a lot of players all at once, I would use uniques, which is going to, you know, more organically adjust my exposures kind of in a better way. If there are just like one, two, like a handful of players where I don't like what I'm seeing, just like here, I didn't like this one exposure with Springs. Okay, well, then I'm just going to manually change that. I don't need to adjust a bunch of other players to try and indirectly get to him. I'm just going to tell the builder, hey, I just want to lower this player. Everything else is fine. Notice I didn't use any uniques here, right? I think this is totally fine. I'm happy with all of my leverages across the board that I've seen here. And I would totally be okay playing this as is. Sometimes people are like, hey, you know, what if I don't want to change uniques? Like it's cool. You know, it's just a tool to manage your risk here. The risk was already where I wanted it. So I left it as is, right? So in this case, no uniques needed. Which is a little rare, right? More often than not, I am changing that. But for me, you know, this felt pretty good. All right. So this is how I would build lineups on Ultimate, right? Using the contest sims, all that. Now, if I were building lineups on Starter, I would do a couple things different. So I'm going to go open a new build. We're just going to start fresh. And since we're going to do a starter demo now, right, we're going to switch this to 500 lineups. And then we'll build like for like a 20 max. You know, I'd recommend playing like more than 20 maxes, or like I think FanDuel is like 22 max, 25 max, something like that. And we'll just let this build load. See if we can help it a little bit. All right, cool. Loads this time. So 500 lineups. Again, only going to set up the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. I would probably still increase min salary here. FanDuel, you don't need to make two changes to projections. Their community guidelines are different than DraftKings, if guys were wondering here. And then I just kick this off. All right, let's let this run. All right, lineups are just about done here. Gonna load. I will cancel this contest sim because we're not gonna need it. We're gonna stick with Saber Score here. I don't know what the size of the contest normally are. Maybe it's like 1K to 10K, right? We can come in and switch this here. I guess we could just check real quick. Let's go to the contest tab. All right. So this is the contest I was thinking about, this $4.25 max here. This has 4,400 entries. So 1K to 10K range is the right range to be in for this contest. All right. Sorting by exposure, we have the right Saber Score here. We have an average projection aggregate metric, which is what we want. Here, we want to be more mindful, right, of the rank of our lineups. I try and say stay in the top like 25 to 50% of your pool of 500 here. The main reason is that on Ultimate, what I've noticed is that when you set an ROI filter, usually getting rid of about like 30 to 50% of your pool. So because we don't have that clear measuring stick with Saber Score, we want to be a little bit more mindful of the rank. So in general, you know, staying higher up with your rank should help you to avoid more negative ROI lineups. So we're still going to get diversification. We're still going to use uniques and exposures and all that, but we're not going to try and go too far down. So keeping an eye on this last numbers rank, really important. All right. So here, right, we see a couple more higher leverages, right? 34% Olsen, 42% Sale. Now we could do this where it's like, hey, there's really only two players that are like really high leverage. And maybe I just want to manage them. You know, this is, again, an opportunity to be like, hey, I'm just going to set, you know, two max exposures. His ownership's like 10%. Maybe I set it to like 30%. And then I go over to like Sale. And his ownership's like 27. You know, 70 is like not the worst here for like a pitcher. But maybe I don't like it. Maybe I want to be like closer to like 50%, like 2X. Okay, then I just like set those two exposures. Sale comes down. Olsen comes down. He's still our highest exposed, highest leverage, but, you know, we're a lot flatter here. And then that takes us down to lineup 29. And I'm happy with that, right? That is like a totally fine way to do this. It's nice to see that our lineups are so diversified out of the gate without us needing to use uniques. You know, I'm actually like really happy about that to see it. The other way to do this, right, would be to come in here. I'd probably go to the all tab so I could just watch the exposures and leverages a little bit easier. Would be to come in here and start to crank up the uniques, right? Okay, we go from 1 to 2. Okay, they move slightly here. Maybe we want them to move a little bit more, right? We go from 2 to 3. We go from 3 to 4. Now, with this, though, all the other players are moving as well, right? So it's like a little bit more indirect way to do it. The biggest thing here is try not to sacrifice too much projection when doing this. You know, at one, we were at 117.8. At four, we were at 117.4. So we really hadn't sacrificed that much. We get to five, we're still at 117.4. Now their leverages are a lot lower, right? Both under 30%. So now I can go to six. Okay, good. We're still in this 117 range, and now they're both their leverages are under 20%, right? Maybe I like this a little bit more. Me personally, I think this is a lot of moving of other players' exposures that I was already fine with, where I would just rather have set the two max exposures and be done with it, because we moved exposures to a bunch of other players that, like, I was completely fine with, right? So I just kind of wanted to show the other way of doing this. But if I had to choose here in this case, I probably would have just left uniques at one, and then I would have just set the two max exposures and be done with it. So that's how I would have done it personally right out of the gate. You know, changing Olsen would have dropped those Atlanta team stacks as well. So a lot of them, I'm sure, are tied to him. But that's how I'd be building lineups on starter for today, right? And then the other thing I wanted to look at real quick is that when we were at six uniques, our last lineup was only lineup 41, right? So we're still in like the top 10% of our pool. So this is like a totally fine way to do it as well. I think there's going to be a lot of good lineups that you can play. So that's why it's okay to get to a higher number of uniques, because you're still, you know, so high up in your pool. But just things to be aware of, things to be mindful of. So hopefully both of those demos help people if they are playing some MLB DFS later today. Aside from that, we are all caught up here with questions in office hours and the chats here. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.